blessed thing. You ever see this, the tidbits? You ever see that? Yeah. Got a prescription, subscription to this. No, I'm just kidding. Picked it up at a restaurant yesterday, and on the back it has strange but true. All right. Well, we can just look outside the door and probably write down a few things. What's that? Right? He probably says the same thing about us, brother. It was in 1954 that the first TV dinner was introduced. All right. When Walter Chrysler started his own automobile manufacturing company in 1925, after having been employed by Buick and Overland Motor Company, he insisted that all the cars turned out by his company be oversized. It seems that Chrysler was a large man and wanted to be sure he could fit comfortably into any of the models he produced in his name. There you have it. All right. Anybody traveling to Sweden soon? Just in case you do, if you're planning a trip to Sweden, keep this point of law in mind. In that country, it is illegal to teach a seal to balance a ball on its nose. So just remember that. What's that? An exiled senator from the U.S. Pigeons have the distinction of being only birds that don't have to raise their heads to swallow when they drink water. There you go. Let's see. It was noted British lexicographer Samuel Johnson who made the following sage observation. The true measure of a man is how he treats someone who can do him absolutely no good. Okay, here you go. Here's the tricky one. If you're holding your nose, you can't hum. I knew somebody would try it. You can't do it. Well, Bob can. Exception to the rule. On a chemical level, there's not too much difference between blood and seawater. An octopus has three hearts. Bet you wanted to know that, didn't you? Next time you go to a buffet, Chinese buffet. All right. If you don't understand how a woman could both love her sister dearly and want to wring her neck at the same time, you were probably an only child. All right. Okay, good. All right, now we got to get serious. All right, we're going to open our Bibles to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. What a wonderful book we have. It's amazing. You can read it over and over again and get something new out of it every time. Even with stories, you know, and accounts in the Bible that we've heard hundreds of times since we were kids. Those who have been saved, you know, or been in church since you were a kid. Even in a messed up church, you heard these stories and accounts of people that happened. Now, you know, people are writing books to disprove them. Well, to me, that just proves that there's something to them if they have to write a book to disprove them. I mean, really, if it wasn't true, it would have faded away a long time ago. But this book is here to stay, and it's proven that over and over again. And it's just amazing. You know, they come out with these fake Bibles that, and everything's fake in them, and eventually the new one comes out, and then another one comes out, another one comes out, or we're better than that. They can't, you know, they're never satisfied. You know, it just watered down long enough, and eventually you just got a novel you read once and throw it in the trash. So, and that's pretty much what they all are anyway. Well, that's what they all are, so, except for the King James Bible. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. All right, we're going to read a story here, account of Elijah and the widow woman. Let's start in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, but the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of God which he spake by Elijah. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman was, the mistress of the house fell sick, and the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid upon him in his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber of the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity again. Lord, it's not just an opportunity, Lord. This is a major task. We're preaching your word. And Lord, I don't want to get it wrong. Don't want to get it messed up. I don't want to teach anything that's wrong. I just want to help some people out. And Lord, I just thank you again for allowing me to come up here. And I pray that you'd bless our time around your word tonight. Like we mentioned earlier, an account in the Bible that we've heard many, many times. But Lord, your word is living, and it never runs out of things to talk about. And I just thank you for that. In your name. Amen. You know, you never realize, you know, we say, well, pastor, you know, he gets up here and preaches, you know, a couple times on Sunday and Wednesday night. And it's not that big a deal. You know, he does is sit around at home and read the Bible all day anyway, you know. Should have something to say, right? But man, I'll tell you, last time I had to fill in twice for him, I was wore out. I was fried. I got home and I'm just like, he has more responsibility up here than any doctor performing surgery right now. He's dealing with the living Word of God. And to deliver that correctly and rightly, and he studies to show that he cares. It's nothing. It's nice to have a pastor that doesn't take it lightly. It's serious to him. You can tell he studies just by how intelligent he is and how smart he is. It's fun to listen to him. But anyways, that's just a sidetrack. So here we got Elijah. He was down by the river getting fed by the ravens. And that had been kind of interesting. You know, you talk about these Old Testament stories and how you'd like to have been there and seen these take place. You know, and here we got one of those incidents where something took place. It's unbelievable. You know, just the faith that's involved, the trusting in the Lord that's involved, and I just titled this message, Don't Be Afraid. Don't be afraid. We read, let's read, go back to the first verse 8 again. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water with a vessel and drink. And she was going to fetch it and called her and said, Bring me some bread." We know the story. We know what happened here. Just the fact that he was at the river and he said, "Okay, now get up and go to Zarephath." He didn't even bat an eye. He just got up and left. And the first point I got here is don't be afraid of God's changes. He may bring a, you may be going down, living life, having a good old time, and all of a sudden God says, "Okay, I want you to do this." All of a sudden, like in the Navy, hard right rudder. You know, all of a sudden we're gonna go this way now. And you're like, whoa. And it just, but we have a God that's capable of doing anything. He's the God of the impossible, right? He can do just about anything. We don't have to sit there and fret and wonder if his direction is correct or not. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. Let him work out the details. All we have to do, like Elijah, arise, and he said, and he arose and went. That's all we have to do. Just arise and go. We don't have to be afraid of the changes that God puts in our life. You may have worked somewhere for many years and all of a sudden you don't feel comfortable about it and you pray about it and of course God says, "Well, I want you to quit that job and go do something else." Or he says, "I want you to stay there, but I want you to take this direction now and witness to these people now or talk to these people and see how many we can reach in this direction." You know, and you're just like, "Okay, let's do it. You blessed me so far up to this point. You know, why not?" Or like, I've never met Brother Hazard. I never met him. Heard a lot of great things about the man. I can't wait to meet him when he comes home. But he's just working one day. He said, "Well, I'm going to go be a missionary of the Philippines." Wow. Okay. Great. So he goes on deputation. He gets his support in less than a year, right? Less than a year. And now he's been over there for how many years? 10? 11 years? 10? 7? Okay, I was close. I was in the ballpark. Been over there for 7 years and serving the Lord, having a great time, seeing the blessings of the Lord. His family's gone through some physical ailments, but the Lord's brought him through. He just rose and went. That's a blessing that God was there. Turn over to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, just some simple verses that we're all aware of and we know. But so many times we read these verses and we just read it, yeah, okay, that's a good verse. And we just kind of pass over it, but not really thinking about what it says. Verse 26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That's what the world's running into right now. They're trying to find answers, but a lot of these things with man, it's not possible. You're not going to be able to find the edge of the outer space. It's impossible. We joke about this at our house. You know, it's like God's up there and he sends out man sends out these Hubble telescopes or whatever he does. They're probably just in a black room somewhere filming this thing. You know, and I don't, who knows? But they might even get close to the edge of the outer space and God just goes, "Boop." "Hey, Michael, watch this." "Whoa." You know, just having fun. It's like, man, you guys are stupid. You really think you can do this? You look at, if you could just stop and look at all the atmosphere, or not the atmospheres, the, what do you call them? Like the Milky Way and all these things. If you just, galaxies, thank you, brother. And you look at these things, you're just like, man, there's hundreds of galaxies out there. They're going right by these things to find the edge of space. Maybe we'll find God. You know, you don't even believe in him. Why are you trying to find him for? And you know, just all these many galaxies around there, and they're passing right by them, not even stopping to look and just say, "How do these things exist?" They don't want to know that. Then they have to settle for God with nothing impossible. Luke 1:37. Let's turn over there real quick. Another verse that we pass over so many times. There again, we as Christians, so many hundreds of verses, hundreds of thousands of verses in the Word of God, and we pass right by most of them. I'm not against reading the Bible through in a year. That's great. That's fantastic. I think everybody should read the Bible. But I was talking to a good friend of mine over in Menominee, and he said, I won't do that, he said, because I'm not a very fast reader. My comprehension isn't that great, so I read slow. I want to get as much out of it as I possibly can. You know, and I've been in churches where how many are keeping their yearly schedule, you know, and it's like, you know, it's just like it's an award or something, you know. You have your reward, you know, that kind of thing. You know, it's like, but there's so many men and ladies and kids, for that matter, that are reading their Bibles and getting a lot out of it. And just sucking the marrow right out of the Bible and get the riches, like, wow, that's good. And then we get verses like Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Just to read that. Oh, and instead they just rattle through it and go on to finish my chapter. All right, I'm on schedule. You see what that says? Are you saved? Are you born again? You have troubles in your life? Why don't you take it to the God of the impossible? It's amazing. We have that power in our hands, in our grasp. He's our Father, our Heavenly Father. Nothing is impossible for Him. Why not ask Him? We bypass that so many times. Don't be afraid of God's changes. When He's in charge, He'll take care of the details because nothing is impossible for Him. Don't be run by fear and worry. Well, if I go there might be somebody that looks at me funny. Or if I talk to that guy about the Lord, he may spit on me. So what? God will take care of the details. God will take care of you. You're still here, right? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit was in Jesus Christ when He was on earth here, and now He's in us. You think that He hasn't seen anything that we see being in Christ's body the whole time? He's like, hey, I've seen a lot more than you're experiencing right now. I spent 33 years with Christ, and I saw a lot with Him, and we got through it. So I think I can help you. He's the Spirit. He's not given us a spirit, but a power of love and of a sound mind. We can go into everything and have a sound mind. We can be at peace about any detail, about any change that God brings into our life. Now, let's go back to 1 Kings, back to our text. In the Old Testament, right? 1 Kings. Can't even find it myself. Okay, here we go. 1 Kings 17, we're in verse 13. Another section, verse 13 through 16. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. There it is. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me after, and make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did as according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house, she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Okay, don't be afraid to dump out your barrel. Number two, don't be afraid to dump out your barrel. How many of us, you say, well, I've surrendered my life to God. Really? You've given Him everything? I'm speaking to myself right now. Have I really given Him everything? Have I given Him every part of my life? That I trust Him? When I get up in the morning, do I pray and say, Lord, this day is Yours? Do I get up and say, who's my King today? Well, let's wait till I get my coffee, then we'll figure that out, right? Have I dumped out your barrel? Have you trusted God? Have you put your faith in Him? At the word of the Lord, I want you to go this direction, and I want you to dump out your barrel. I want you to give me everything you got. Don't do anything for yourself yet. I want you to do it for somebody else, and I'll take care of the other thing. Dump out your barrel. Let God have your whole life. Turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Another verses we probably read by and just not even really think about because we hear it so many times. Verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What a promise. Hey, I'm here for you. It's just the Lord. You know, it's amazing. We mentioned this morning. It's like God is standing off in the corner somewhere. You know, hey, if you need me, I'll be here. I'm right here, okay, just in case. Hey, did you hear that verse? I'll be here for you. I'll be your strength. If you need strength, I'm there for you. Hey, you know, he's not over there. You know, when you need me, I'm here. Break, you know, let's not put God in a closet. You know, let's take him down from the shelf and dust him off for a change and let him see. Let's try him out and see what he can do for us. Let's see what he can do in our lives. He's the God of the impossible. Have we really given him everything we got? You know, if we fear what he may leave us with a barrel full of regrets. If we fear what the tomorrow holds, we may look back with a lot of regrets saying, boy, I wish I would have just trusted the Lord and went with it. I should have not held back. I should have emptied out my barrel and just let him have total control of everything that was going on. But I didn't. I didn't dump out my barrel. It's interesting in that verse there in back in 1 Kings, get back there, where he mentions the word of the Lord that he spake through Elijah down there in verse 16. He says, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. We take a stand on the King James Bible here. We say this is the word of God. We believe it to be the words exactly what God said and what he told people to write. Yet we read through it and we don't trust it. You know, I preach this message because it spoke to me. We live in a world where we're too comfortable. We live in a world where we don't trust anything. We're so dependent. You know, if our car breaks down, it's the end of the world. Hey, you know what? God knows that. He knows everything. But do we really trust Him like we should? Do we dump off the barrel and say, well, you know, well, God will provide. Do we mean that with our heart? God will take care of it. Really? Prove Him. Prove Him. Take him out of the closet and try it out. See what he can do for you. See what he wants to do for you. When he returns, will I find faith on the earth? That's what that verse says. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? I take that as a challenge. I'm going to take that as a challenge. God, I want to be faithful to you. I'm going to prove you. I want you to prove it to me that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do these things. Lord, you know what's going on in my life. I need this to be taken care of because otherwise I can't do this. And I'm just going to leave it at your feet. And like most of us, we'll leave it at his feet saying, well, God's going to answer that prayer. But then we sit there going, it's not answered yet. When's he going to do it? Well, I better do something quick. No, no, no. Dump out your barrel. Let him have it. Empty yourself of it, realizing that there's nothing that you can do. And let him do it. Let's increase our faith that much more in these last days. The words of the Lord are true and right. We've proven that over and over again. We go to knock on doors and say, well, the King James Bible issue, or we get into debate with somebody about the King James Bible. But do we really believe the words? Is he really the God of the impossible to us? Can we really fully trust him? And do we fully trust him in everything we do? Matthew, let's go over to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 25. All right, Matthew 25. Excuse me. Squeaking a little bit there. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Okay, he's afraid, so he goes and hides his talent. You know, we take that and say, what has God given you that you're hiding in the dirt? Can you trust Him? Why don't you empty out your barrel and just give it a try? Maybe you have a singing talent you could use in church. Maybe you have a talent of playing an instrument that you could play for special music. Maybe you have something else. Maybe you just have the gift of giving or something that God has blessed you with. What are you doing to increase that? Why are you afraid to use it? Why not use it? I get scared to death when I come up here. But I pray it helps somebody out. You know, I get it's scary. How many of there are you that could get up here and preach? Or said, you know, I'd like to have that opportunity. You know, it's just what are we doing with that? Are you afraid to use it? Don't hide it in the dirt. Let's get it out. And here's another thing. We have the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. Are we hiding it in the dirt? Are we just living a life just kind of in a closet? Boy, I hope nobody asks me about the Bible. Boy, I hope nobody asks me about Christ. I hope nobody asks me about my faith. Or they come up to your work and say, I know you're kind of a religious guy. You know, no, I'm not. I'm not religious at all. But and they look at you like. But anyway, you know, don't hide it in the dirt. God has given you something special and He's hoping that He'll reap a reward from that. You know, let's not hide things in the dirt. Let's not, you know, fear may leave you with a barrel full of regrets. Let's try to work our best and use what God has given us so when we see Him face to face, we don't have to hide our face in shame. When that trumpet sounds and we just go, oh, could have done so much more. I could have done so much more. Let's not worry about that. All right, now back to 1 Kings. So don't be afraid of God's changes. Don't be afraid to dump out your barrel. Are we really truly trusting the Lord? Are we really giving Him our best? Verse 17 to 20. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and the sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? Boy, Elijah kind of put in a spot here, isn't he? Boy, what do I do now? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up to the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? It's almost like saying, God, this doesn't seem real fair to me. I went when you said go. I gave everything. The widow gave everything she had. She's doing everything you commanded her to do. She dumped out the barrel and trusted you. The oil has yet to cease. The barrel has still got meal in it for us to eat. You've proven yourself over and over again. Yet she doesn't see you as the God. She doesn't see you as whom I serve. She doesn't see you as all-powerful God now because her son is dead. Why has this happened? I can't believe you allowed this to happen. And I put down, don't be afraid to bring your burden to God. Don't be afraid to bring your burden to God. He wants to hear it. He wants to be the one who comforts you in a time of need. He wants to be the one that answers the prayer and brings the healing and raises people from the dead and supply the meals for your house. He wants to be the one that puts gas in your tank and on and on and on and on. But we just have to bring the burdens to Him. We can't sit there and keep on trying to solve it ourselves. With man, these things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Everything is possible with God. And that's what He wants. He wants us to be totally reliant upon Him for everything. He gave His life for us. Why can't we give our lives to Him? In everything. Trust Him. Just totally, fully trust Him in everything. You know, I'm not very good at fixing cars. Not very good at all. But you know, I bought a truck here recently, and the wheel bearing went out. I've never fixed a wheel bearing. You know, but you bring it to a garage, how much are they going to charge? $500-$600 to put in a wheel bearing? At least. And then after I got done with it, I would have charged myself $500-$600 too. But the part's only $160. Well, only, I shouldn't say that. But it's $160 for the part, but I can't afford $500-$600 to get my truck repaired. And I said, Lord, I got it. I'm just going to dive in here and I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to guide me. And we went and brought the kids over to piano lessons, and my brother-in-law is really good with cars. And I go, hey, could you take a peek at this? I think the wheel bearing went out. He said, yeah, it's out. So he said, but here, let me show you something. He jacked it up, took off the wheel, and said, if you take this off, 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 and then get the wheel bearing out, and then put the new one in, you know, it's not a big deal. But I remembered everything he said. Not bad for 50 years old. I was pretty proud of myself. Like, what was the middle part again? You know, what was that? You know. But you know, I was at it for like 2-3 hours. I was just like, man, that thing was just, it was like rusted in there. It was not moving. I pounded on the thing and pounded on the thing, pounded on the thing. I called up Brother Dietz and I said, look, you got any ideas for me? He said, and he goes, well, have you tried this? I said, no, I'll try that. So I tried that. He called back, you want me to come over? I said, yeah. So he came over with his 3-pound sledgehammer and some chisels. And he just, you know, Frank, he's not shy when he's pounding on things. He goes, boom, boom. You know, 45 minutes of him pounding on that thing, it finally came loose. Finally came loose. But we got it traded. We got it, you know, we got it fixed and it works. You know, that's the thing. But you know what? It's just, I didn't want to bring it to a garage. Lord knew how much money we had, but I learned from it. Now, I also got to depend upon a brother, and we got to fellowship a little bit too. It was a blessing. You know, and isn't that kind of neat? You know, even when you're out door knocking and knocking on doors, I don't want anything to do with what you got to say. Boom, you know. Get out of my blankety blank lawn. You know, get out of here. I don't want to see you again. And the next door, you come, about the fifth door into the day, you're like, this is crazy. Knock on the next door. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian too. I am so glad that you're out here. This is a blessing to me. Thank the Lord that you're out here giving out tracts. I've talked to my neighbors many times, but they don't listen. Please give them a tract and talk to them. And you're just like, oh, all right, I will. You know, and God brings those things into your life. He's just like, you know, you trust me, I'll take care of you. Don't be afraid to bring me your burdens. They're not stupid. You never heard the thing, there's no stupid questions. We've heard some that borderline. But there are no stupid questions. And God's just like, ask me. Ask me. I'll help you out. And you know, and not only was I wasn't getting frustrated yet. And then Brother Dee said, I'll come over and help you out. So I had a good brother come over and he helped me out. We got it changed out. We got to talk and he showed me a few more things. It was a good learning experience. So now if any of you have a bearing go out, give me a call. I'll give you Frank's number. But you know, and God helps us, and He expects us to give it back. Go help somebody else now. Go take what you've learned and go help somebody else out. It may give you an opportunity to witness. You know, I'm going to stop and share this story with you. Yesterday, I've been praying about getting some money for the trip to Romania in September. Looking forward to that. I'm excited. And the other day, I got a payment due here June 1st. Next week, I said, Lord, I kind of need some jobs here, you know, to get some odd jobs, earn some money, you know, I'd sure appreciate it. And the next day at work, a girl comes up and says, hey, I need some help doing some yard work. Would you come over and help? I said, sure. And I had another guy come over and said, hey, can you take care of my lawn while I'm gone? I'm going to be on vacation at such and such time. I said, sure, that'd be great. And, a little bit here and there, and God's just like, hey, just ask. Just ask. But yesterday, I went over to this gal's house, and I said, the time she wanted me over, the time we agreed on, would make me miss visitation here on Saturday. And I said, Lord, I'm going to witness to her today. I'm going to talk to her about the Lord. And it's not easy to do all the time. You know, just you get a little nervous, a little, rumble in the stomach. You're like, oh, this isn't going to be easy. But, I pray that something happens where I can speak to her about the Lord. And so I get there and we figure out what we're going to do with this landscaping thing. And we start working on it. And her daughter came out and I said, hey, how you doing, Grace? And she said, oh, good, good. And her mom goes, oh, by the way, Grace has some questions for you. And I said, oh, really? And I go, what's that about? And she goes, well, she's been reading the book of Revelation. And she's got some questions she wants to ask you. And I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. And so we got all done with the work. And it wasn't questions. It was a real blessing. I'll tell you. We got done with this thing. And I go, okay, what did you have some questions? And she goes, yeah. She goes, well, not really questions, but I had some comments. And I'm like, oh, no. But I'll tell you what. She's been reading the Bible and reading books. And she said, I realized that she said a higher power. But she said, there's a higher power that's up there that's in control of this whole thing. And she said, a week and a half ago, or a couple weeks ago, she said, I lifted my head up and said, God, I know you're there. And I know you're in charge of this whole mess, this whole thing down here. And I'm just committing my whole life to you right now. Not even saved. At that time. And she started saying things about Revelation, everything that I've read, everything that I've heard, everything that pastors taught right down the line. She has autism, but she's really smart. Reads a book and picks it up like that. Remembers everything she read. Unbelievable. Quoting things, And I said, yeah, man is so, arrogant now. They even think they can take the Word of God and change it, because I was trying to figure out what Bible she was using and all these. But she goes, yeah, isn't it amazing? These guys, they think they're so arrogant and they don't know nothing. They're taking the Bible and taking the these and thous out and all this and just, who do they think they are? They can take the Word of God and change it. And I'm like, amen. Wow, this is great. This is what a blessing. And he just opened the door wide open and her mom kept going back doing other chores and everything. And I just kept saying it loud, if you know Christ is your Savior, you know for sure you're going to heaven. That's a blessing, that's great. And I asked her, I said, how do you know that? What happened that day when you said you committed your life to the Lord? Well, I said, you're in charge of my life now. That's what I said. I said, have you ever seen a gospel tract? And she said, no. And I started going back to my truck and she walked right behind me. Just like, something new. And I reached and I got a tract out of my truck and I gave it to her. I said, this explains perfectly how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And she goes, oh, that's great. And when I left, she was reading that. And I know her mom said, I'm glad she had somebody to talk to because she gets tired of asking old mom, and all these questions. But now this is going to give me the opportunity to talk to her mom at work. But her I'm sure she's riddling her mom with this stuff now, and that's a blessing. That's really neat. So God just opened that wide open for me. All I had to do was ask. You know that verse in Revelation chapter 3 where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Isn't it, you ever think about that? You think about supper time at home. And you sit around the table with your family and you get to talk about the day. And it's just a kind of a special time where you can share with each other. And just, how was your day? Well, I kind of had a rough day. you know, I really did. And, you know, wow, well, tell me about it. You know, and you talk about it and just share with each other. And it just gives you something to pray about where you can talk to your family about it, you know, and share. And here's Jesus, the Lord of the universe, saying, just open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. Wow. We get to sit around a table and ask Him questions. How was your day? Wow, that's amazing. He wants to do that with us. All we have to do is open the door. He's just sitting there. That's all the, you know, most churches are hearing in the metro area right now. Jesus is outside the door. Jesus, the Word, the truth, the light, salvation, is outside the door. Every morning when we open the Bible, you're opening the door. Come on in, sup with me. Hey, could you be with me today? I really need your help. Oh, you bet. Anything else you need? What else is it you got? What else is going on in your life? How was your day today? Oh, you kind of went and had a rough day yesterday. I kind of got in the flesh there, didn't I? Yeah, I'm sorry for that. You know, and just talk to Him. That's the Lord. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He wants to sup with us. Man, it's unbelievable. It's an amazing thing. Don't be afraid to bring your burdens to the Lord. He's waiting for it. You know that song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, you will find Him. What a blessed truth. He wants us to come to Him. All ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that are, what is it anyways? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. You know, it gives Psalm 23 an all new meaning. Leading you by the still waters, He restoreth my soul. Man, what are you depending on? What's in your barrel that you won't dump out? Why don't we trust God more? Why don't we? Last thing, 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He heard the voice of Elijah. Isn't that something? We have a God that listens. He hears us. Nobody else does. How would you like to have a big golden, fat, bald-headed Buddha sitting on your wall? Oh, he sits there like, what a joke. Huh? What a joke that is. I had a bad day today. Wow. Really? Oh, wow, yeah. I killed a guy today. You know, he never changes. It's the same thing over and over again. Unbelievable. But we have a God that hears and answers prayer. Isn't that amazing? You've all seen it. You've all seen Him answer prayer. You've all had things in your life that have happened. You've prayed to Him, and it had to be God that answered it. It had to be. All right. Sorry, that was a rabbit trail. Anyway, verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down the chamber of the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Don't be afraid to believe. Pretty simple. Pretty vague in a way, but really it's, don't be afraid to believe. It's so simple, yet it's true. How many of us are trusting Him? Your reaction to God's method and direction may result in someone's conversion or rejection of the truth. Go back to verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Thy God. Not her God. This is your God talking. As the Lord thy God liveth. Verse 24. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord. Maybe a little belief change there. Here's somebody telling this woman, hey, there's going to be a guy coming to your house. You need to take care of him while he's there. Oh, really? as the Lord thy God liveth. But then the meal stays in the barrel. The oil never runs dry. Her son dies. He brings him back to life. The Lord. There's something to this God of yours. If God brings a change into your life and you reject it, or you give him some friction, if you leave something in the barrel and you don't want to follow God and directly what he says, your reaction to what he says in your life could make the difference in whether somebody trusts Christ or not. How real is our God to the people we work with or the people we see on a regular basis? How real is he? Do we just join in with the dirty jokes and the stories? Do we just join in with the music, singing the songs that you sang for many years before you trusted Christ? Do we just join in, go out with the guys after work to the local bar and have a few? Or are we different? Do we prove our God real? Do we cuss and swear like everybody else is? Is there a difference? How real is the God to the people you work with? Do you really believe him like you should? Or are you just your basic run-of-the-mill Christian that comes to church and goes, lives like the world the rest of the week, and then comes to church again and looks all pompous and pious? And how you doing, brother? Then you go out there and use the Lord's name in vain in the way you act. It's not just using the Lord's name in vain and cussing and swearing. It's how you live. I believe in Christ. Blankety, 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 blank. I hear it all day long. Oh, I'm a Christian. And it's just, the language is just, it's depressing. Really, I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't use that name. Please. Don't come and talk to me about the Bible. You obviously believe in a different God than I do. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. But do we believe? Don't be afraid of God's changes. Don't be afraid to dump out your barrel. Don't be afraid to bring your burden to God. He wants to sup with you. Let that sink in for a while. And don't be afraid to believe. Let's trust Him. Let's go out this week and trust Him a little bit more than we have. Let's prove to this God-denying world that, yeah, there is a God that's true, that's real. He provides more than the local professional teams, than the local whatever is out there. The local going tomorrow, the lakes are going to be full of boats, people, pleasure, and you know, buzzing around and drinking, and you know, and all the above. You know, it's just amazing what's going to be going on tomorrow. But all the world has to offer is going to be over. Tomorrow night, the boats get put back in the garage. The next day, you wake up with a hangover. And you got more troubles than you had the day before. That's what the world's got. We have more than that. More than that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the opportunity to just show how wonderful you are. Show how wonderful your word is. Pray now that you'd be with us now as we sing a hymn and just kind of have some fellowship time and just enjoy each other's company. Lord, I pray that this week we would trust you just a little bit more. Thank you again for this opportunity. I pray that you bless this time as we sing a hymn in your name. Amen. All right, let's open our hymnals up. 288. thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Brother Oberlander, would you pray for us, please?
Father, we thank you once again for this day, Lord. We do appreciate so much that you keep us here, Lord. And the message you give to the preacher is so well stated. I just pray that we think on these things the rest of the day and tomorrow, Lord, and for the rest of the week, and it can change our lives, Lord.
Amen. Remember to pray for each other this week, all right? You're dismissed. Thank you.